Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzewski, and today you are listening to the best of the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious excitement because they have joined us now on The Mark Gunger Show. The show that is all about
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Gunger.
I haven't got a brain.
And joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley. Ross Allen Skorzewski is not with us today. He is a slacker. Actually, Papa Duty.
Daddy Duty.
But that's okay. We can do it without him.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you. Nobody handles garbage better than we do.
And that's why we're still here.
Oh, yeah.
Engineering as always, Timothy Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, trying to stay awake during the recording of the show and blasting it out across the internet to the world all around us. This is the show that we handle and deal with your marital challenges, relational conundrums, dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com.
Here is a marriage conundrum to start the show with. We're a young married couple in our mid-20s who have a question about sex positions and things like the Kama Sutra.
Oh my.
My husband wants me to search online for ideas for different sex positions, and I feel like it's wrong and shouldn't be done. What is your opinion on the matter?
Why? Why does he need so many different positions? I mean, literally, I mean, they're all little variations on positions. There's really not too many other ways.
Well, apparently there's a whole bunch if you look at any of these books, but...
Oh, but it's all really weird,
they're
bizarre
all weird,
stuff.
Strange, odd.
I've seen some of those and like, ugh, you gotta...
It's like, how do you even pull that one off?
Here's my problem with that. Look, you, mixing it up, having fun, just being creative on your own is fine. To feel pressured or to feel the need to pursue bizarre, strange things is just weird. You know, what's his problem? Is he bored having sex? Just look at him. Say, Bobby, are you bored? Mm-hmm. If he goes, well, yeah, I am kind of.
Well,
okay, Bobby,
for a while.
We won't have sex for the next 10 days, all right? And then we'll see how you feel after that.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is he won't be real excited about that. But do it. Go do no sex for 10 days. I bet you, you can be in any old good fashion. Good old-fashioned position that you both are happy with, and
he'll
he will just
fine.
Be delighted. For people, I've never understood this thing, this concept where people say, well, sex gets boring, and you hear these idiots on TV, well, if your sex life gets too boring, you need to kind of mix it up and, you know, swing from the chandeliers and, you know, get a, you know, a chimpanzee in the room with you at the same time or
no.
do something bizarre, you know. Just, they're just all weirdos, for heaven's sakes. You're bored, honestly, bored having sex. I have been bored.
I don't know how that happens.
I have been bored in school. I have been bored in church. I've been bored doing my own radio show. But I have never, ever, 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 ever been remotely bored having sex. So if he has boredom with sex issues, you know, there's something wrong with that boy. You know, just quit having sex for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by mutual agreement, as the Bible says, and just say, listen. If you're that bored, let's not have sex. You know, maybe you don't have to go 10 days, just go, you know,
maybe,
two or three days,
yeah,
whatever.
That might be enough.
Just enough just to freak the willies out of him and say, I don't want to hear about this anymore, okay? If you're bored, then we won't have sex as often, and this will show you to appreciate what you have. And I'm not saying it in a mean way. I'm saying that literally, if you're bored, if you're honest to God, bored with sex, just stop having sex for a week or two.
That seems
or a month.
Like a real simple solution.
That's
to
all you got
to
do. And then watch what happens. You will not be bored anymore. And then if you're having sex so often and so regularly that you actually become bored, which again is a little bizarre from my worldview, but if that actually happens, just back off on the sex for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the kind of person that you're eating, you know, and you're just, you know, I'm just tired of eating.
I've been there.
No, I'm serious.
I know. It's because I've been eating too much.
You're eating and you literally just, I'm just kind of, you don't think, well, some people do, you know, what, how many different positions can I eat in or what else can I eat or how can I spice it up, you know, and, you know, really all you got to do, just stop eating. Skip a meal. That's all it takes.
And then whatever you eat, hot dogs and macaroni and cheese is good then.
Man, I'll tell you, you go fast for the day. Mm-hmm. Eat nothing for 24 hours. Mac and cheese is quite glorious. You know, we really live in a world where people are just overstimulated. And I think the answer is more stimulation. No. How about the answer is not more stimulation? How about stop the stimulation for a little bit and let things go back to normal?
Okay. Next email. I hear what you are saying about having to say something to my husband more than once for him to even hear it. Been there, done that. But I have been accused of nagging him when I say something more than once. Yes, I have sometimes nagged him. I would say that nagging is when it's said over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But he's also gotten mad at me for nagging him when I bring it up only for the second time. He listens to your show and he knows I want to ask you this question. How do I handle talking to him about things or reminding him about something he's forgotten but not nag him? If the second time is considered nagging, at least to him, but he won't listen the first time I speak, which he doesn't, then what am I to do?
First of all, he actually says that to you?
Says what?
He says to her, you're nagging me?
Stop nagging. He must say, like, stop nagging or make some reference to the nagging.
What would you do if your husband said, stop nagging me?
Then do it. I'll stop reminding you when you do it.
No, does he actually say you nag him?
No, no. He doesn't say that.
But if he did.
But if he did, I would say, then do what I'm asking you and I'll shut up.
I mean, is that kind of insulting?
Yeah.
I can't imagine telling my wife, you're nagging me.
No, my husband's never said that to me.
I'm afraid she would knock my head off.
Yeah, no, he's never accused me of that.
Okay, so let's say he does say this to her. I agree with you. If he says, well, quit nagging me, he said, sure, just do it when I ask you to, and you won't need to be nagged.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I want to be careful about here is, you know, he's not your slave. Okay? And if you're a fundamentalist, born-again Christian, one has to acknowledge that there is no biblical imperative anywhere that says a man should obey his wife. It's not there. I know you girls wish it was there. Oh, do I know this?
Oh, yes.
He doesn't do what I say. Gotta say it again. I gotta say it. Okay, but nowhere in the Bible does it ever say a man should or is obligated to in any way, shape, or form obey his wife. It says he's to love his wife, but doesn't say he's to obey it. Interestingly enough, the Bible does say women should obey their husbands. Very unpopular portion of scripture, I understand, and we have all the Kama Sutra positions we've gone through to try and get out of that verse. I get that. But just be a little careful there, okay? He's not your slave. It's not his job to do what you tell him to do. So again, in all fairness, you got to work life out. You need him to get involved. You ask again. If he says, you're just nagging me, just say, hey, look, I wouldn't have to nag you. If that word's acceptable to you, it wouldn't be in my house, but I wouldn't have to nag you if you would just help me with it. I need you to help me with this.
Do guys really think a second ask is nagging? I mean, are there guys that think that?
Maybe some do. I don't. Look, the truth is a lot of guys don't like being asked the first time. They don't want to be, what do you care? You know? So you got to ask them again. Ask them again. Don't make a big deal out of it. And when he tries to make a big deal out of it, I would say just don't make a big deal out of it.
Just say, I wasn't nagging, I was just asking.
Yeah, I would, you know, don't let him
unless
make a big
deal
out of it.
Nagging.
And don't you make a big deal. And don't let him make you make a big deal out of it to where you'd actually write the show about it. I mean, already you're making a bigger deal out of it than you need to.
Well, and she did say that she thought nagging was when you ask again and again and again and again and again. You say in your seminar that nagging is not about how many times you ask. It's about the attitude.
The way that you ask.
It's how you ask.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to be funny and who knows.
Well, it is.
Well, it's still. To some people, nagging is asking more than once.
It is, I guess.
You know, you're she's nagging me. She's like, all right, whatever. You know how you can fix it, Bob?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it and she'll shut up.
Now, unless he feels he shouldn't have to, or is that, now if he acknowledges he needs to do it and just hasn't done it, it's very simple.
Maybe she's asking him to do things he doesn't want to do at all or doesn't think he should
do. Well, most
guys don't
want to do anything at all. But if he at least acknowledges it needs to be done, I acknowledge the garbage has to go out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it out.
No.
It needs to go out and she doesn't want to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that falls to me.
Yeah.
Plus, she does a lot more than I do
around
this place. I think I'm getting off easy doing whatever few chores I have to do.
That's right.
So
you do.
Don't boss him around. It's not your job to make him obey you is my number one. So be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make a big deal out of it. Don't let him make a big deal out of it and just blow it off. And who cares what he thinks? Honestly, if my wife thought I thought she was nagging, I don't think she'd care.
Well, unless you made a big ruckus about it, then she'd probably care.
Yeah.
If you just kept it silently to yourself and thought.
I just think she'd knock me upside the head if I started calling her a nag. I don't know.
Well, that's because you'd be making a ruckus about it.
I don't know how these guys get away saying these things to their wives.
I don't know. Seemingly, they do.
Quit nagging me. Wow.
Yeah, I can't see you saying that to her and not getting some sort of...
And keeping both testicles.
So I don't know.
I just, you know, it is what it is, girls. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many of you women just, this is all of life for you. It's just the whole torture of getting him to do, just honestly, relax a little bit.
Okay, next email says, what is the age for a child to start making their big decisions like moving in college, etc., without disobeying the parents? Is there a biblical difference between obeying and honoring parents?
Absolutely. I can still honor my parents, but I don't have to obey them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's a difference. Good group. And what age? I don't know. A little common sense here. The kid wants to go to school and he's getting ready to move out of the house. What, he still has to obey you?
I mean, aren't you people who think that. You have to go to the college I want you to do.
At some point, you need to disconnect the umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
You're just now dealing with this as a 18-year-old. You're now just now at this point starting to let go?
Yeah.
Good grief.
They should be able to make those decisions. Your kids should have a say, and at least a big say in those decisions of where they're going to school or where they're moving out, or if they're 18, an adult.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it comes up to obeying. Look, you know who has the power? Is the power of the purse.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It wouldn't even be a deal to me. For me, if I wanted you to go to school A and you didn't want to, but you want to go to school B, I said, well, fine, but I'm only paying for school A.
That's right.
I don't get a big deal about who's obeying and who isn't obeying, and they want to go out and earn their own money to pay for the school, and they're fighting you that. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. Oh, just people make the strangest issues out of things. It's no wonder some people are so miserable.
They make issues out of non-issues.
Just out of everything.
God is great. Beer is good. And people are crazy. And that's all I got to say about that. All right.
They are crazy. Okay, email from an 18-year-old. She says she loves the show. I really believe your stand on using your 20s for having and raising children and your 50s and 60s for relaxing and enjoying the grandchildren.
Yes, bless you.
Now I have a question that has bothered me for quite some time. I am an older sister to two teenage brothers, 15 and 16. While watching TV, a feminine commercial appeared. This commercial stated the word period right at the beginning, and my brother, 15, turned to me and asked what that word meant. I answered, "You don't know?"
At 15.
At 15.
Wow.
Now, my brothers being oblivious to the monthly cycle bothers me to some degree. They are interested in girls, and I believe they should be aware of the basics of the menstrual cycle. Question, in your humble opinion, what age do you think boys should know about the menstrual cycle? Now, my brother, 15, was pretty nasty when he was given the sex talk, so I can only imagine how he would be if he learns what the period really is.
What kind of sex talk did you get if you didn't learn about the menstrual cycle?
That's what I was wondering, too. But the mom had talked to the mom. She's a single mom. The mom had talked to...
Here's your problem. You got a single mom situation. Yeah. The father should be talking about this stuff. Well, mom's got to man up.
Yeah.
She needs to sit there and talk him through it. Gosh, it's amazing. At 15, they're figuring this out.
Yeah. 15 seems a little... Like, even in school, I would have thought they would have had that.
I remember once going at Thanksgiving, my mother sent me to go get the napkins.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said... I said, yeah, I know where they are.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you can imagine what I reach for.
Uh-huh.
And apparently these were not the napkins.
They weren't the dinner napkins.
No, that everyone had in mind. They said they were feminine napkins.
They were the sanitary kind.
No, they're feminine napkins.
I know.
Go get napkins. Oh, well, I know where they are, Mom. I got them.
I know.
I didn't know what they were. What the heck? For heaven's sakes, but I think I was maybe 9.
Yeah. She said that they were, when they were around 12 years old, they received their talk from the mother. And she just doesn't know.
Pretty incomplete talk.
Yeah, I guess so, because you would
when
think that would be part of it.
When do girls get to talk? I mean, don't you guys have to get, I mean, wouldn't you think you're dying if all of a sudden you start bleeding like crazy and no one told you about it ahead of time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know people that happened to.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I was freak out. You mean they haven't said anything to them and all of a sudden they hit their first period?
Yeah, I've had people that, yes,
what
that,
do they
that
do?
I know freak out. They freak out because they didn't know anything about it.
Oh,
I forgot
gosh.
This part. The brothers are homeschooled, so that's why they haven't gotten it in school. Because usually by the time you're 15, you've gotten that in health classes at school, but they are homeschooled, so that's
shame
why.
On your mama, for
and
heaven's
she's a single
sakes.
Mom. She wants to know what she can do to help her brothers grow up to be manly men. As an older sister, what can she do? Nothing. They got to get that from a guy, basically.
Yeah, that's bad. That's the bad news.
It's 15 and they don't
that's
know
the bad
about
news.
That.
Life will man them up. Mm-hmm. You know, don't over-coddle them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to get in their face and make them do things they don't want to do. Don't be so concerned about their feelings. Mm-hmm. Who cares about their stupid feelings? Try and think more like a guy. I guess you can imprint some things that way on them. But you'll be about as successful as to help your brothers be men as some man would have helped you become a woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it goes both ways. Imagine a man.
Yes.
Who's going to help you become a woman. I mean,
yes.
He can try as hard as he wants. I'm sorry, it just isn't the same.
It isn't going to work all the way.
That's why these divorce situations are not good.
Well, and to find some other
God's
guy from church or something to be a guy from church or an uncle or somebody else.
Some other man stepped in. That would be good, yeah.
That
but
would be
I don't think you trying to be a man to them isn't going to do it. No. Yeah, find someone in the church. Uncle, somebody, some guy. Or where the heck's your dad?
Mm.
Wouldn't kill you getting your dad's face and say, hey, dad.
If he's around.
These boys don't even know what a period is, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Who knows where the dad
is? Well, living with a mom and a sister, you would think that they would have some
notice
of that in the house. I mean, I remember being real small, living with my mom and having some clue about it.
Huh.
And my kids do, you know. It's like
so how old are women, girls when they talk to you about this stuff?
I think
10?
Yeah, around 10, 11, 12.
You got to be
school.
At least 10 when you'd before all of a sudden.
No, because there are some girls that 10, 11, 12, they start.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If you don't tell them, I'm going to freak the willies out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, it's going to be horrifying.
Yeah, I have known people that they didn't know anything about it, and it happened, and it really freaked them out. I mean, it's hard to have that happen now. These are older, like my age and older women, you know, that was more, I don't think that that's the case so much now.
Wow, 15 years old, he has no idea what that is.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
They must be real sheltered.
There
especially if that's the first time you've seen it on a commercial even. I mean, it's on commercials and stuff all the time.
And he's just now noticing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
They must be pretty sheltered.
Very interesting. All right.
Okay.
Let's take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage. Laugh Your Way presents Mark Gunger's Butt-Kicking Woman Conference. Find out what it takes to be a strong, confident, and respectful woman at the second Butt-Kicking Woman's Conference, May 20th and 21st at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is not your typical woman's conference and will be unlike anything you've ever attended before. This life-changing weekend will feature nationally renowned speakers Mark Gunger, Lakita Garth, and Carrie Pomeroy. Join us and learn how to be the kind of woman that knows who she is, what she believes, and won't let the devil or anyone else kick her around. For more information, log on to www.buttkickingwoman.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today, we're continuously married, 34 years, happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want: resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/Mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/Mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
You'd think that people would have had enough of silly love songs. But I look around me and I see it isn't so. Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. And what's wrong with that?
Again! Here we go again! Everybody sing!
I love you.
Mark Unger Show.
I love you.
I don't love Diane nearly as much as Mark Unger.
Of course not.
Of course not. You're listening to the Mark Unger Show, all about love. We're all full of love. Where's the love? You want to know about love? You come to the right place.
Hey, have you been watching American Idol?
I'm way behind. I've got it taped.
Okay.
But I'm like seriously behind.
Okay. And I won't talk about it if you're seriously behind.
Is it about love?
There was actually a chick who got married. They went during the Vegas week. She really? Went with her boyfriend and they went to a chapel and they got married.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
True love.
What a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was true love or not.
I'm not sure. She was a little flaky.
All right.
Okay, next email says, I'm married over 10 years. In the past, we have been intimate 6 to 7 days a week. Now, that's a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot. Now, for approximately a year, we are intimate approximately 2 days per week. My drive is stronger than my
hubby's.
How old
are they?
They're older. They're middle age.
Middle age, and you're doing sex twice a week?
Well, it used to be.
Oh, they're not doing sex?
Well, twice a week, yes. Now it is twice a week. 6 and 7 times used to be.
It was every day, and now it's down to twice a week.
Yes.
Middle age, twice a week. And there's a problem here?
Well, my sex drive is stronger than my hubby's. He never turns me down, but lacks romance, the kissing, and the caressing. So he's just sort of doing the duty and not doing the rest of it.
Great point. Great question. Can I talk about this a little bit? Mm-hmm. Why not? It's my show.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about whatever I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say this from time to time. It's interesting when you talk about sex and teach people about sex because there's a broad world you're talking about there, mm-hmm. okay? And I have started saying this kind of a funny joke. I say, look, let's face it, sex at 72 is a little bit different than at 21. Mm-hmm. You can still have sex at 72. You just won't be able to remember why. Mm-hmm. And everybody laughs, ha ha, it's a funny line. Okay, but the point is the things are really different,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I got to tell you, early on in the relationship, the whole foreplay and, you know, discovery thing, I mean, that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you, after 37 years of marriage, while there still needs to be touching and stuff,
it's not
the same.
It's just not like you just crawl on, do your business, crawl off.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not doing that.
Come here, break here, lady, you know. So, you know, you need to be touchy and stuff like that, but it's just not the same. It's not.
And especially if you're doing any amount, like what you talk about, sort of during the day, you know, touching her, coming up behind her, giving her a hug, at least if you're getting that during the day.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the actual sexual part of it.
Right.
I will say this, and, you know, some might be mortified by this, but I'll tell you, it's much closer to let's do this mm-hmm. just because you want to do it and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then this huge build up.
This is true.
Of, you know, like when you were in your 20s and you're touching and playing and just there was crazy.
True.
And it becomes a bit less about that,
mm-hmm.
to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the fact that he's maybe not that enamored about all that part, but still is willing to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. Honestly, sweetheart, twice a week, middle age, you guys are doing really great.
Yeah, but you still want him to kiss her.
No, I know that, but I'd still be thrilled with that if you could get. So it's not like she's not getting any, okay? But talk to him about it. You know,
well, this is what her question
it, but,
actually was. Right. She said, I have not expressed my concerns to him. Before I do, I was wondering, by telling him I need more of the affection kinds of things, would it hurt his ego, thus causing more problems with the intimacy?
It could. And she's really sharp about that. Because what so many women don't realize is that men have very, very, very fragile egos.
Especially when it comes to sex.
And you start criticizing him and make him feel like a loser. Mm-hmm. So how would you suggest then? How do you communicate this to him?
Actually, why doesn't she just try to kiss him? Why don't you just do what you need? Do that to him a little bit more.
Does he push her away when he does it?
Well, I don't know. I didn't ask that.
That's what I would kind of do.
But it's like if you just sort of take the lead and just do that a little bit more.
Or if he even does, even kind of hints at it, maybe kisses on your neck a little bit just to say to him, I just love it when you do that to me.
Yeah, you know, there's ways to do it without saying, you never,
You don't do this right, and you don't put your wajajiggy when the wajajiggy at the right time, and, you know, then he just feels awful.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to go there with him, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. As gently as you can.
Yes, it's very gently.
But I do want to, because I think some people, they don't understand that it's not the same.
It becomes a little more routine-ish.
Yes, which is fine. Does. That's not bad is all I'm saying.
No, because you know what works. You know how to make it happen. And you can
and
be more about
great,
the business
And
of
it's
it.
Still great fun.
Yes.
And it is what it is. And, let's face it. There's this huge discovery. Now, I suppose you could get more into discovery mode if you were in a new marriage or new, then there's, and even still then. But I'm telling you, it doesn't always have to be. I think if people don't adjust to the normal part of life. Let's face it, nothing is the same.
No, it all changes.
Running to the grocery store isn't the same, because back then you actually ran.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to get in the car.
This is true.
Even though it's a half a block away.
Yeah, you don't walk to the end of the block for the gallon of milk and back carrying it, although it would be very good for you to do that.
I mean, things change. Physically change. Life has physical changes about it. Certainly sexually. Now, I discount this idea that sex is boring and it's a drag and you've been married to the same woman for 36, we have sex the same way. You know, people will think like that. I don't even relate to that. What the heck they're talking about? You know, sex is a pretty fabulous thing. I don't care how you look at it. But it's not going to be the same as year one of marriage as in year 40 of marriage.
No.
It can still be passionate, but it still looks different.
Yeah.
But everything looks different. Look in the mirror. What you see will look different. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's not going to be exactly the same.
It becomes different because even a guy,
but
because most
different.
Men are visually stimulated.
Yeah.
At some point, that starts to wane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's other ways of connecting with them and stuff. So, all right.
It's different.
We'll be back right after this.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. each kid's flag page game comes with everything you need to complete three kids' flag pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the kids' flag page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Well, the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. Dum, 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 dum. No, I won't dum, be afraid. Dum, 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 no, I won't dum, be afraid. Dum, dum, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by
everybody
me.
Stand up.
Stand by me.
A little sway to the left.
Oh, stand.
Sway to the right. Sway to the left.
Stand by me.
Little turn. Oh yeah.
Stand by me.
You are standing by the Mark Gunger Show. Because if it weren't for you, that'd be an old show, because no one would listen to this crazy rambling of mine. Anyway, this is the show that discusses your marital questions and stuff. We were just talking about someone, the challenges of getting dealing with sex older, all kinds of stuff changes with sex. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to Diane during the break, you realize men are pretty much visually stimulated. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's the way we're wired, you know? Early on, it takes very, very little. And pure nakedness, when you're young,
is like, wow.
Quite fabulous.
Now, people, that changes, okay? Now, we're still fairly young, but we're getting older. We're pushing 16.
Well, it ain't like when you were 20.
Pretty soon we'll be in our 70s. Do you really think looking at a completely naked 72-year-old woman is really going to do it for a lot of guys?
No,
not
I would guess
not.
Not
at that age. And vice versa. Poor woman.
Oh, no.
70-year-old guy with like,
oh, no,
coachy,
no,
mama,
no, no.
What happened to you, okay? So you say, well, then are we doomed? No, it just starts looking
it's just
different. Now it's all about the dressing up and getting attractive. And, you know, because you can always, you know, you got slings in those things. Sling those suckers and bring them back
put
up
them
where,
back where they're supposed to
back
be.
Where they're supposed to be and get a little cleavage happening, a little perfume and earrings and stuff. You know, I mean, I've seen,
you know, put a guy in
late
a tux.
Women in their early 80s that
yes,
they,
oh, beautiful.
Very beautiful women who get all dressed up. A guy gets in his tux. You know, it becomes different now.
Yeah.
You know, now the key to stimulation isn't just naked.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, at that age, it's like, this isn't quite stimulating enough. Okay, so now it's about the dressing up and the playing and the lights off. You may not want to get totally naked.
I would bet by the time I reach that age, I'm probably not going to want to be naked with the lights on.
No, but I'm saying, but even during lovemaking, you may not even want to get totally naked.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
You know, you don't have to be. It's not like when you were 20.
Yeah.
You're 20 years of age. The best thing in the world,
it's
pure
unadulterated
nakedness.
Naked.
Just naked. Clear naked. Because that's like, holy cow, this is fabulous. And it's okay. So life changes. You just kind of adapt to the changes in
what
life.
You can do.
There
okay,
you go.
Next email. Hello from your Bismarck Gungorians. My older brother admitted to me some time ago that he is having an affair.
Who did?
His brother.
Oh, okay.
In fact, he is on mistress number two. He cited the reason for his actions being lack of a sexual relationship with his wife. If I can't get it at home, I'll get it elsewhere, he told me. He noted that his wife flat out refuses to have sex with him. My brother has a nasty temper and very honestly can be verbally abusive. His wife, however, can have as much of a wicked tongue as he does. I asked why they do not get a divorce if he's so unhappy in the relationship. He stated he wouldn't do that till his daughter is older because it would tear her apart. While his daughter is now 21 and she's been away at college for the last 4 years, it appears he will not leave nor try to make things better between him and his wife since he really has the best of both worlds, a wife that is a good earner and a girlfriend on the side. I do not see my brother often despite living in the same town. My reason is it is no longer enjoyable to be around him because of his behavior. I have on occasion run into him and his girlfriends, which is very awkward. My question is, do I press him on his behavior or let things unfold on their own? What do I say to him?
What does the wife say?
He wasn't sure if the wife knew or not. He thinks that she does.
Talk to her about it. It's not his job to fix his...
Because he goes out each week with his friend, and he doesn't hide the fact from his wife that he's going out with a woman. But it appears that she doesn't care, which this guy writing says that he does not understand why the wife just doesn't care.
I don't know, you guys. Look, I have a hard enough time trying to relate your marriage problems directly to you. These third-party emails always leave me a little... I don't know what you expect me to say. How can you control what some other idiot does? You know, yeah. I would tell his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And does he still hang with this guy?
He says he doesn't see him very often.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
He doesn't see him very often just because of all of
this.
He's
a pig of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? There's
and if his wife wants to live like that, you know, if she knows...
If she knows it and whatever, there's nothing you can do about it.
What are you going to do? What you going to do? Okay, next email says, first of all, I would like to thank you for your great help that you are offering to people all around the world.
Thank you.
I am from Egypt. I have recently...
Egypt!
Yes. Recently watched your video entitled The Tale of Two Brains, and it really helped me a lot in understanding how men think in order to respect their will when they enter their empty box. He calls it the empty box.
Okay.
I have a question here. Can a woman acquire this empty box or not? This is from a woman. I admit that I am a woman that thinks 24/7 of anything and everything. I really need a break, and I don't know how to do it. Frankly, I envy you men for the empty box. So can women acquire an empty box?
I don't know.
If they can, somebody's got to tell me how that happens.
I did talk to a lady recently who had been in the seminar. She knows me so much. She says, one day she's driving along and she felt so stressed out and she just cried out to God and said, Lord, help me think like a man. And she said, and my mind went totally blank.
That's funny. That's very funny.
But I think that is the exception. I don't know. Relax a little bit. You know, is she married? What relaxes women? Does sex relax women? Does anything relax women?
The only thing that is a nothing box for me is to watch television.
Yeah,
it's
the only thing that works for me. Just kind of shuts the brain out. Watch a movie. Go for a walk.
That's what I have to do. I veg out in front of the
television.
You'll
be fine. But thanks for living. Or living. Yeah, thanks for being alive. thanks for listening and being part of the show all the way from Egypt. I love it when people from Egypt. We have had a few.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Because you get to play your song then. That's why you like when Egypt people write in.
Yeah, come on. All you Egyptians up there, stand up, sing it.
All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the sand dance, don't you know? If you move too quick, oh, well, they're falling down like a domino. All the boys are men by the night, they got the money on a bet. Called crocodiles, oh, well, they snap their teeth on your cigarette. The hookah,
I like the song.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah! Shake it! Stick your arms out there! All you Egyptians out there! We love all you Egyptians listening to the show. And God bless you. I know y'all have been having a hard time
indeed.
In Egypt with all your political changes. Almost as bad as Wisconsin.
But we won't go there. We will not go
people
there.
People are just crazy.
You know what's so sad about that is that there are people, their families are being pulled apart. Their friendships are being destroyed because they're on opposite sides of this thing in Wisconsin. It's just ridiculously
sad. Can you imagine
sad.
The Civil War?
Oh, no, I can't, actually.
People are dying.
I just
talk
can't.
About splitting families.
It's just sad. Okay, this is a very unusual email. I'm not sure what you will say to this one. You wanted a debate, an ongoing argument between a couple. Here's one for you.
Okay.
I tried to get her side of it. I didn't get it, but we'll see what you say anyway. We live on my parents' ranch in Wyoming. She has had a few animals that we've tried to raise to sell. When it comes time to wean or castrate them, she always wants to refer to the farmer's almanac zodiac calendar. I have always said that
Whoa. All I heard was castrate. What was that?
She raises animals.
Okay.
And so when it comes time to castrate or wean the animals on the farm.
Wean?
Wean. You know, like get them so that they're not on the mama's teat anymore.
The teat.
Yes.
This show talks about all sorts of things.
Yes. Or to castrate the animals, she wants to refer to the Farmer's Almanac Zodiac Calendar.
Yes. If you're going to castrate me, please refer to your zodiacs or anything else that you can take all the time in the world.
I have always said that it's better.
Read an encyclopedia. Seriously, check it out some more. Yeah.
Keep reading, keep finding, keep looking, keep searching.
I'm sure the animals appreciate the pause.
Yes. I have always said it's better to pray and trust in God rather than mess around with this junk. She says there's nothing wrong with it, and her mom agrees with her. What do you say? And by the way, they love your show. Now, I didn't realize that the Farmer's Almanac actually listed all of this. I had to
go
and
look. Does it actually have a zodiac?
It's according to the zodiac and these things, and they have calendars, the best days to plant, the best days to harvest.
But
it's according to moon cycles.
No, isn't it more based on that than the kind of zodiac where you're trying to divine some astrology?
Yeah, no, it's moon cycles.
Yeah,
it's moon cycles.
There are actually cycles to things in life that you can actually key off of the moon and stars and stuff like that.
So they say it's better on this day to castrate your animals than on another day. What the moon has to do with
that. I'm not sure the animals would agree with that. But
it's
apparently,
a full moon, is it better?
Apparently, if you're about to castrate me, I'd say, wait.
It's not a full moon.
The moon's not right. So, good heavens. But I think there's a difference between I'm speaking in ignorance here as I do about most things. I don't know that much about it. I think there's a difference between that and astrology. And, you know, demonology or some other kind of weird strange things. I think these people, the whole thing about Farmer's Almanac is looking at the seasons and the stars.
And a lot is the moon cycle. My husband knows a lot about this from being in, you know, agronomy.
Yeah. So there really is some sense to that. And don't forget, now we're not supposed to go there, but don't forget the guys who actually were aware of the fact that Jesus was born were the guys who were paying attention to the stars. Now, I don't even begin to understand how that happened.
Right.
But they weren't condemned for it, and they weren't evil for it, you know. But having said that, the Bible does tell us not to go to the stars for direction and astrology and you know, look in the newspaper and find out what you should do for the
day. What your horoscope is.
Horoscope. That's all icky, weird stuff. Now, if there's some science to the positioning of the cycles and the, you know, tides and, you know, I don't know enough about it. It would appear to me that there would be some. And isn't the whole Farmer's Almanac just looking back at history and finding when was the best time to do any of this stuff?
And then they rely on the cycles of history and all of that?
And the average day. That's how they tell what the temperature. They predict the temperature and stuff. Yeah. It's not that they are divining these things. It's not like they're doing astrology to find
out what
the temperature. It's based on history.
Yeah.
And looking at the thing and analyzing these cycles and stuff like that. So having said all of that, I would think, though your animals would disagree with me, just castrate away when you think it's appropriate to do so. But I wouldn't make a big deal of it, I don't think.
And I don't think you really need to pray and ask God when you should do it either. I mean, frankly, animals are animals. Do you really need to pray? I mean, I don't think either one of them.
I think the animals would launch you to pray.
And then get the answer, no, don't
castrate
me.
And hope that God would talk you out of it so that you don't cut off their jingle-wawas. All right, but of all the things in the world you're crazy about, I don't think I would go. Now, if she's looking at horoscopes and you're making spiritual and financial decisions and stuff based on astrology and trying to divine the will of God through, that's creepy and that's off. But if you're looking at the Farmer's Almanac based on, they think the best time to do such based on all the elements of the earth, I don't see that as some big satanic thing. At least I don't. There you go. Okay. What do I know?
All right, next email. I've been listening.
Do I look like a farmer to you?
No, that's what I thought it was. I thought I'd better do some looking up.
I can honestly say in all my life, I've never castrated anybody.
It's a good thing.
Now this show is about castration.
It's a good thing.
We get everything on this show. I think these people think I'm a lot smarter than I am. We got a castration. Well, that's Ask Mark Gunger, because clearly, here's a man who understands castration.
The email comes in, and I say to my husband, Farmer's Almanac, I got to do some research on this. Gunger ain't going to know nothing about this.
I don't know anything about a Farmer's Almanac. I'd rather walk like an Egyptian. Everybody stand up. Take it.
They've got the moves. Hey-oh. You drink, then they bring you more. All the school kids so sick of books. They like the punk and the middle band.
Like Farmer's Almanac.
Hey-oh. Like an Egyptian.
If you're gonna castrate your animals, who
Farm clack, an Egyptian. Oh, I've lost my mind. Anyway.
I'm sorry. This is a rabbit trail, but I have to ask you, did you see the news story where San Francisco is trying to outlaw circumcision? Did you see that on the news?
No.
They are literally trying to outlaw it so that you cannot do it to a baby. Because they do not believe that a parent should make that choice, that if a man wants to be circumcised, that he should be able to make that decision when he's older.
They're going to infringe on the religious expression of 7,000 years of Jewish history.
I'm just asking you if you saw it.
Talk about people who need to be castrated. So they stop reproducing. Good Lord. I think Christians should have more kids. These people should be banned from having children.
I was quite stunned, and they're serious about it.
Oh, the idiots.
They're serious about banning circumcision.
You can't do that. If you're doing it as part of what you believe is a religious expression or whatever.
It would be an infringement upon your religious beliefs, wouldn't it?
Oh,
how could they
goodness.
Do it?
Just
only in San Francisco.
Just when you think it can't get any stranger.
God is great. Beer is good, and people are crazy.
Especially in San Francisco.
Indeed.
All right.
Do you want to take a break or keep going?
What am I doing? Let's take a break, okay. And then we'll be back with more right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
Band of Brothers Radio. Your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, Dating, and Relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, Dating, and Relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
You are so beautiful.
Yes, I am.
To me,
I'm a beautiful man. You're listening to Mark Gunger on The Mark Gunger Show.
Yeah, looking at you makes me want to cry, too.
The most beautiful man in America today.
Hey, listen, I want to get this out before I forget. Many of you are familiar with Focus on the Family, the largest religious broadcast group in the world. And I was interviewed by them in Atlanta for the radio show back in October or something of last year. I had no idea when it was going to air. I wasn't sure if it would ever air. You know, I'm pretty crazy and stuff, so I thought
maybe it won't make
maybe
the
I'm
air.
A little too crazy for these boys. I mean, they like me. We get along great, but I thought maybe it'd be too much for them, so it wouldn't have surprised me if they never did air it. But found out today that they are airing it. They're airing it tomorrow and the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what was edited
out,
how it's going to make
in,
the air,
or how it comes across. But for the first time in 10 years of doing this, we finally are going to be on focus on the family. It's kind of a big
It is a big deal.
Thing for our little family here up in Wisconsin as we travel the world trying to communicate about marriage and relationships. So check out your local listings. You can go to Focus on the Family website.
It's family.org.
Family.org. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the listings where you can go listen to it. I think you can actually listen to it on...
Once it airs, I think.
You can listen to it on the show. So those of you who are Gungorian fans and love to follow what we do and stuff like that, here's your chance to actually hear me on the largest religious broadcast, radio broadcast in the world. So check that out.
It'll be fun to see what happens and what the response is.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not mortified by what I said. But anyway.
Well, you know the danger when they edit people's things. Sometimes it can be bad. Okay,
it was pretty funny. We had a great time doing the show, actually.
I can't wait to hear it. Next email says, I've been listening to your radio show for some time now.
You don't have cooties, do you?
No, I don't. You keep hocking my water out of my bottle. I've been listening to this show for some time, and I have to say I enjoy your biblical and radical position. This is definitely something that we as Christians need. At this point, I am not in a relationship, but I have lots of friends that are, and some of them have already made the sex compromise. I've been thinking of possible things that have led them to this, and although there are lots of things—
By the way, why is my position radical?
Well, it is in this world. It shouldn't be, but
I guess,
it is.
Yeah.
It is. There are other things that contribute to it, like staying close to God and so on, but it looks to me like that a huge factor is staying in a relationship for too long of a time without going to marriage. I'd agree with that. Yes. Related to that, I was wondering if you could discuss a recommended duration of the relationship phase. I know there are a lot of different situations and things that need to be taken into consideration, but if it would be great if you could share some of your observations. Thank you for doing the job you are doing. People need to hear this kind of stuff.
I share, again, I write about this in my book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. The Jewish community, which has thousands of years of doing life right, way more than the Christian community, they say that they date for one, two, maybe three times, and then decide on marriage. And set a date, and they're married within the year, and they move on, and they have an extremely low divorce rate, those who do this right. So, you know, whatever version of that you want, if you think that's too little, then that. But I agree with you. I think the reason these people fall apart, they mess up, is they date. Everything spirals out of control. They give themselves totally to somebody. It all falls apart. And then they go give themselves to somebody else, and they constantly give little pieces of their heart to somebody else. By the time they get married, they got nothing left.
That's right.
Which is sad. So your insights are very good on this. But no, I don't think it takes very long, in my opinion. You know?
If they're people of character,
you don't need to, the more you drag this out. And I yell at people all the time. I meet these single people that come to my conferences, dating for 7 years, 3 years even. I yell at last couple of, I said, how old are you? 30. I said, good Lord, I was playing baseball with my son at 30. What are you doing dinking around 3 years?
Oh, there's one.
I looked at her and I said, if he doesn't have a ring on your finger and you're at a wedding in a year, you kick him out of your life. I'm right in front of him.
Yeah, I'm sure you did say it right in front of them. You'll have a stroke when we get to one of the emails that's later on, because this one couple dated for 13 years.
Oh, good Lord.
13 years. That's a long time. A long time. I almost died when I saw that, but...
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Don't date too long because it makes it too hard. And they do compromise sexually when you're waiting 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Okay, next email says, my wife and I were watching American Idol, here you go, where the lady contestant got married to her boyfriend in Vegas. I made a stupid joke, which upset my wife. After they got married, I said they better go make love real quick or it doesn't count. I thought you needed to consummate the marriage in order for it to be official. My wife said I was being disgusting and had a male point of view, always wanting sex, and posed two questions. What about a paralyzed couple that can't make love? Would their marriage not count? What does sex have to do with God's sacraments he has between a man and a woman?
It has everything to do with it. Everything. This is the wife who's talking.
The wife is saying that. He said, I verbally tiptoed my way out of that conversation, and man, I felt stupid.
Because she said they had to consummate it. He said,
don't they have to consummate it?
Yes,
and the
they
wife
do.
Said no.
No, your wife is wrong. Absolutely stinking wrong.
Absolutely. Now, a paralyzed couple who wants to be married, they can be married. Or any couple who wants to be in a sexless relationship can be. I know of couples like this. They've never had sex and never want to have sex.
Yes, they just have
That's
marriage.
Totally fine with me. But generally speaking, no. Without consummating it, it's not illegal. It's not a marriage as God would see it.
But it's not legally. I mean, you've said before you can get an annulment.
You can get an annulment. If someone fails to perform sexually, it doesn't live up to the thing, you can go to an annulment. It's not even a divorce. And this makes me angry because this happens so much. I've said this before. I know of many people, even here in Green Bay, who got married and on their wedding night found out their spouse, husband or wife, didn't want to or couldn't have sex.
And you found it out then.
And at that moment, they should contact their pastors and say, and the pastor should say, we need an annulment.
Do they teach pastors this, like in seminary or anything?
No, they don't talk about it at all. In fact, all the pastors I know of tell people, no, you got to stay married. You made a commitment.
Yeah.
These pastors are idiots, in my opinion. You morons, come on. Where in the world do you get that? The commitment is when you finally consummate the deal. Okay, you stayed with each other, you made your vows to each other, and now you consummate. In the Old Testament, family literally would stand outside the room or outside the tent waiting for you guys to have sex.
For the evidence.
And prove that you had sex. Because once you do that, okay, now we got a sealed deal.
It's a done deal.
These pastors, who they leave these people in miserable situations. The minute and in the last 2 weekends that I've been out, by the way, I'm going to be in Florida tonight. Those of you who want to come check us out in Palm Harbor, Florida, just north of Tampa Bay, come check us out. But anyway, at laughyourway.com, you'll see where it's at. But in the last two events, I met a couple from each one that they got married, and on their wedding night, finally the other person couldn't or didn't want to have sex.
Really?
And everybody said they had to stay married. I had one lady, the last place we were just at, she said, I found out on our wedding night, he didn't want to have sex. I said, what do you mean? He says, sex is for dogs.
What?
And you know what she did? She went,
she did not.
She did too.
I did not.
I am not exaggerating.
Oh my God.
I thought it was hilarious.
That is funny.
She was a funny lady.
That's hilarious.
And a gorgeous woman. Good Lord. Anybody not wanting to have sex with this lady, there's something wrong with you.
The subject didn't come up like when they were preparing to marry
or
anything?
Well, that's my point. Apparently, pre-marriage counseling, nobody's talking about this. There's just a big assumption you're going to have sex. Part of the pre-marriage counseling
is looking. Or do they think it doesn't matter if you do or don't?
I don't know. I'm telling you, we are doing a terrible job preparing people
for
marriage.
That's ridiculous.
Well, we can't, and you should be part of it. When you're doing pre-marriage counseling, you let them know. Say, listen to me. This is about a sexual relationship and doing life together. If on your honeymoon, one of you decides you don't want to or is incapable of having sex, you let me know. They will annul this marriage.
They absolutely should.
And the people. That's amazing how many people this happens to. And then these parents are, well, you made your vow. Oh, give me a break, you nitwit.
They need to be teaching them.
They don't consummate this thing. The deal is off.
Well, the seminaries need to teach these guys.
Nobody should be allowed or forced to stay in a marriage if on their wedding night they find out they have someone who cannot
or will not
have sex with them. Now, if you choose to stay married in spite of that, then fine. We will acknowledge that as a marriage, legally and everything else. But on your
way, you
find this out. Man, game over. Good grief. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.